Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
All right, 302, McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Oh. The NHL Stanley Cup Finals is now 3-0 as well as the Panthers take care of business over the Edmonton Oilers. Now it's 3-0 in both finals. Both finals have given you nothing here. And as a Ranger fan, which they signed Kaapo Kakko to a one-year deal earlier today, yesterday, I'm not sure what to think of that. I mean, could he be moved? I don't know. I'm 1 year of Kaapo Kakko. I hope he can have the same type of year that Lafreniere had and kind of finally, you know, come into his own, but kind of lost a little confidence in Kaapo Kakko. So we'll see. But as a watching the Panthers dominate Edmonton, there's two ways to feel about it. One, hey, you got beat by the best team in hockey who clearly is just dominating the postseason. And we talked about it heading into it, right? We were going to find out whether or not the Rangers stars just weren't good enough or if the Panthers just shut down the level and style of play that both Edmonton and the Rangers play, where they need space, they rely on their stars for scoring, like, and Edmonton had better stars, McDavid, you know, so, but watching them completely shut down Edmonton and you know, knowing the Rangers at least got two games and were up 2-1 at one point in the series, as much as you might have thought Florida dominated even the two wins, it's just become absolutely, both series have really nothing left to give us, I doubt. You know, you might get a win. I could see Boston getting bored and giving up a win to Dallas, but both series are over. Both were boring. Both have given us no juice whatsoever. And unfortunately for Ranger fans, we're going to watch the Florida Panthers celebrate a Stanley Cup championship. Not a fan of that team. Did you see the photo, though? Excuse me. Hit the wrong button. I didn't mean to hit talk back. I meant to hit cough. I apologize.
It was a great
I threw
cough.
Fliegelman off. Yeah. I went right into his ear with the cough. Did you see the picture? I guess they went to high school together or school together. Tatum and Kachuk went to the same school.
I had heard about that. I haven't seen the photo. Yeah, this is like the new Clayton Kershaw and Matt Stafford.
Yes, I guess. Yeah, there's a photo circulating the internet of the two of them sitting next to each other on a school bus. And they are both respectively up 3-0 in the finals at the same time. How amazing is that? How random is that?
It's like when Met and Jets fans saw the whole Garrett Wilson and Brett Beatty growing up together.
Right.
What they would dream of. Right. Just give us one.
Imagine. I take one for sure.
I'll sign for being down 3-0 in the finals with those teams.
Absolutely.
Or down, you know, 30-0 in a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's something to have those two players, right? And it's one thing just to have, you know, Kershaw and Matthew Stafford. That's amazing on itself. But both of these guys in their respective finals up 3-0 at the exact same time, the exact same season, is really is crazy. What a quinky dink. Ray and Edison. What's up, Ray? You're on the Fan.
Oh, McMonagle, thank you so much. I'm a restaurant manager, and yeah, I always drive home late at night, and you guys lighten up my night.
Oh, thank you very much.
This movie topic.
Yes.
You guys forgot one. First of all, I bleed Rutgers football red and Yankees Giants.
Okay.
This is my team.
Well, now that we've established that.
I listen to you guys from 8 a.m. until 3 a.m.
Oh,
and you. So I appreciate you. You have great topics. You're an amazing person. And I love listening to your life because I do have kids myself.
Right. Well, thank you.
You're missing one important movie.
Sure.
Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
And Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, well, definitely not.
No,
definitely not. No. Nothing Star Wars would make this list for me, no. On TNT,
How about Infinity Wars? Infinity Wars?
Yeah, I do like Infinity Wars. And thank you for the call, and thank you for the kind words, and thank you for listening. I do like some of the Avengers movies. I thought Winter Soldier was an excellent movie. I thought both the Infinity War and Endgame were very good. The original one, even Age of Ultron. Like I've liked all of the Avengers movies. I don't know if they get to the point for me of I can't change the channel. I just don't know. I don't know if they get to the point where it's like, no, now I'm sitting here and watching it. I don't know. I'm not opposed to that idea. It might happen. But it's not a guarantee. And what was the first movie you said?
Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump. I mean, listen, Forrest Gump's a great movie. I had fun with it yesterday when Aaron Rodgers went on vacation. Is there a Mr. Gump, Mrs. Gump? He's on vacation. I love Forrest Gump. You could put that on this list, sure. It wouldn't be at the top of my list, but you could absolutely put it there. I would put A League of Their Own on this list. And also,
I watched that on the flight out last week.
Yeah, so League of Their Own is just tremendous. It's any of the baseball
movies. Marla Hooch. What a hitter.
A lot of night games. What do you suggest? A lot of night games. Time. Someone put out, Chris Lopresti retweeted it. I got to find it. Someone made like a 6 or 7 minute montage of baseball movies. It is fantastic. It takes you through like the entire thing where the montage starts with all montages of, you know, getting ready for the game and then the national anthem and then aspects of the game and then the end of the game and the walk-offs or whatever. Like it was just, it went through like timeline of an actual baseball game with all the baseball movies and the sound. It was so well done. It almost made me cry, man. That's how much I love baseball. I almost cried at a stupid 6 minute video on Twitter that thankfully Chris Lopresti put out there. It's so well done. I'll retweet it now. Baseball movies are the best. I don't want to do just straight sport movies because that seems like such a easy topic. Although this one ain't hard. Thomas in Hackettstown. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good. Just getting off work. We have a family restaurant in Hackettstown, so sure. Late night.
There you go. What's the restaurant?
It's Mama's Pizza.
Mama's Pizza in Hackettstown. You got to check it out. I'm sure it's delicious.
Yeah, Mama's Pizza Cafe Bocce, 260 Mountain Avenue. Great. Gluten-free.
There you go. You give someone an inch. God, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Good.
No, so basically, I heard you talking about the movies. I don't know. I think when Goodfellas is on, you don't change the channel. And this is really random. This is just my personal thing. I think because the ending's so tragic, whenever that Selena movie's on with Jennifer Lopez, you know, where she plays the Mexican singer.
Of course, Selena.
I can't change the channel.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously a very tragic ending to that movie. And what's his name? James Olmos? I always forget it. Edward James Olmos? Something like that? Yeah. He's great in it. He's had some, you know, really good movies. He has a baseball movie that not many people know of, where he's like a scout for the Angels. He's like a former catcher, scout now for the Angels, and he's scouting this like young starting pitcher. I haven't seen that one in forever, but he has a baseball movie too. I mean, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. If you like Selena, that's fine. I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I haven't seen Selena in years. So it wouldn't fall into this list for me, but I'm open to it. And I don't dislike Jennifer Lopez. I mean, I'm trying to think of like I would think the best movie in my since now we're doing best Jennifer Lopez movies. Call 8788. Almost said 877 for Jennifer Lopez movies. That should be the number you call. Favorite Jennifer Lopez movie 888-808-1019.
If you like Daniel Jones 877. If you don't 888.
I thought Enough, where she plays like the battered wife trying to get away from her horrible husband, was probably my favorite movie where she's the star of it. But yeah, no, Selena, as always, it's, I remember it vaguely. It wouldn't be on this list for me. Joe in Manhattan, what's up, Joe?
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Good, how are you, buddy?
Very good, very good. I was thinking about comedies that I can't turn off once I see them on, no matter what.
Okay.
One of them is My Cousin Vinny.
Sure, love My Cousin Vinny.
And another one might be Tommy Boy.
Yeah, no, I mean, but you're talking two all-time classic comedies. And you know, it's funny because, you know, I know Seinfeld came out recently and said, you know, today's culture and the, you know, whatever else has ruined comedies. But it's, when's the last time a great comedy like Tommy Boy came out? I don't know. Maybe it's just I'm in a different phase of my life where I don't pay attention to it or I don't have time for it. But like, I don't know. When's the last time Tommy Boy and like all these movies came? I know they're making Happy Gilmore too, but I feel like the actual comedy movies have taken a major dip. I mean, the last real great ones, I guess, have been the Hangovers. I'm sure there are some I'm blanking on, but I can't think of any. But yeah, no, My Cousin Vinny is just absolutely tremendous. I love My Cousin
Vinny. I'm ticked off that I didn't think of My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah, no, My Cousin Vinny is a classic. Joe Pesci is a classic. The most underrated and, you know, no, least talk about Joe Pesci movie, in my opinion, is The Super. The Super is a hilarious movie, and nobody talks about it. I love With Honors with him and Brendan Fraser, but people mention it. He's great in it. But The Super, where he's like a slumlord, and they... Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Hello?
Hey, Val. What's going on? How are you?
I'm all right, Brother Mac. I'm all right. Look, you know, I got something for you because I teased you with something yesterday that I wanted to ask you, and it might turn out not to be the best time to talk about it.
No, it's always a good time. 3:13 in the morning, it's always a good time to call me and talk about whatever's on your mind. If you want to talk about what dream you had last night, I'm open to it, Val. What do you got?
I actually didn't have one. But just before I get into that, though, you know, two things real quick.
Yeah.
That Lewis Teal thing that people are talking about, and I could be the guy that's like, you know, being a little bit overly critical, but I don't like the idea of the bullpen thing because I think, like, I have not seen anything from him to tell me he does not have that mindset, but a closer's mindset is a little bit different from a starter. And so, you know, like, even that is something like, you know, he has a starter's mindset right now. And even that, the psyche part of it, I wouldn't want to play with or even touch. So even that kind of, like, makes me kind of skid off a little bit of that whole bullpen idea. I hear, and I'm open to all things if it means trying to salvage him and keep him for the postseason. So, you know, while I'm not too gung-ho about it, it is still something to think about. But I just don't like that because
especially I
feel like people are doing it. We got away from that. We tried to turn IKF into something. We tried to turn this guy into something. Like, why don't we just try to find guys who do specific things if that is, in fact, the need that you have and you want? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, I suppose, but this is a different scenario than trying to make IKF a shortstop. Like, this is a little bit different. I mean, he could have easily been in the bullpen to start the year. I mean, he's a rookie, and they're trying to limit his innings. It's out of necessity, not, you know, it's out of wanting to still see him pitch and not have to shut him down. I mean, I don't like it. I agree with you, but I don't view it the same as trying to, you know, shoehorn something in that doesn't make sense. It's not trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. It's you know, it's trying to make it work. I just don't like that idea of how to make it work.
I still say that closer mentality is a little bit. I don't know that. I'm not saying he doesn't have it. I just don't know that he does.
Well, you don't know until you try someone.
Yeah, until you try. Yeah, that's true. But, and then, real quick, that Jet stuff, you know, especially considering what happened last year, and I know you're perfectly correct on that. You know, just like Tyson said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the nose. Yeah. You know, I'm like, we don't have that. Yeah, if something happens to Aaron, there is a big problem. But the one thing I will take away from it is that, you know, especially considering what happened, any time that Taylor has by himself right now in training camp, because I personally think that this time of the year, as far as they go, is really just for, like, rookies and people who are trying to, like, really establish themselves and show themselves on the team. Somebody like a veteran like Aaron, who pretty much knows that playbook in and out, it probably just bodes better for Taylor just to have some reps anyway by himself to kind of, like, see things that he might not get a chance to see if Aaron was actually there at practice. And now to get to the real thing, the teaser that I have for you from yesterday, okay? And it might sound like this might be a bad time to have this conversation if you consider recent history, because he just went 0-4.
Right.
But the conversation I wanted to have with you, and I should have had it yesterday, but it was kind of like pitted on something that Boone said, not last night, not the night before, but I think it was Monday's game, or it might have been Tuesday's game. But anyway, he was saying something about how Aaron is like, you know, he's almost to the point where, like, you know, is there, like, you look at it and you're like, he's actually even in some aspects getting better. He's in situations where he's been before. He goes back to muscle memory. He goes back to being in that situation and knowing exactly what to do with it. I remember we had this conversation back when he, like, posted the big 62, you know, home run year. And you said it to me once, and Sal said it also. It was kind of like this come back to earth, Val. You're going a little bit too far. All things considered, right? And I'm just going to ask you this. I still say that because he's done it before, and that time was like it was in a situation where he was just walking into it. Things were happening, cameras are flashing in the stands, people watching 51, watching the counter, people are shifting from, you know, this TV coverage to go to that to see his next home run and all this stuff. I still say that there's a chance that somewhere along the line, if he really is like getting, like still priming himself,
yeah,
as much as we see the start of the year, do you think that I'm like crazy? I remember when I brought it to you before.
Val, you there?
Yes, sir.
Val,
yes, sir.
I love you. Stop painting the picture and just tell me what you want to ask me, please.
Do you think that he can, like, am I crazy? Is it outlandish? Is it still out of the world to think that he can actually be the one to have that all-time home run record at some point in time over the next few seasons? Like, if he really is on these clicks, that he right. seems to just be
the
doing
home run over
stuff.
The overall beating the seven whatever number that
yeah, all of that.
No,
all of it. You just, still think two, I'm crazy?
It's not that I think you're crazy, Val. And I mean, you love to paint the picture. My goodness, I love you, Val. But geez, you can't just you have a real trouble getting to the point. You love giving me all of it. I don't think he can hit. I mean, I just don't think he started young enough. He's going to be 32. Like, he'd have to play. I mean, he'd have to hit major numbers of home runs. Like, I mean, let me just look real quick to placate Val here for a second. Judge has how many home runs as of right now? Let's see. Aaron Judge has 282 home runs, right? So you're talking about he has to triple pretty much, or close to, what he's done so far. He's already played 8 years. He's 32. I mean, he would have to hit more home runs over the next 8 years by a lot than he did over these previous 8 years, and that gets him to 40. I don't see him having the amount of time to do it. He's missed too many games already. He has too many seasons. You can't, one, and to be fair, unfair to him, he played one of these years is 2020 when he played 28 games and they only played 60 for the season. So he's got a year with 9 home runs. It's tough in the middle. If you want to hit 800 home runs, if you want to hit, you know, 700, and again, I don't even, because of the steroids, I don't even know what Bonds' number is. Fliegerman, just see, maybe I'm putting myself out there to maybe be stupid here. Do you know what Bonds' number is?
I was just going to call. Which number?
The Bonds is all the most home runs, the history of the number of the most home runs ever hit. Bonds' number, not 73. He had 73 in 01, right? That's the number for the most of the season. Do you know career home run number?
No, I want to say it's in the 760s,
right?
But I don't know.
But the number's not special. I just wanted to make sure that I'm not the only idiot who doesn't. I don't know the number. So that was just a side note on how amazing we all knew 7:14. We all know 7:55, but we don't know.
Yeah, all I remember is that he passed Hank Aaron.
Yeah.
But I don't even know if it was more than like double digits.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, to hit 7, let's just call it 770, right? He's got to hit almost another 500 home runs. He's only hit 280. He's got to double. He's got to almost double his output over the next 8 years. Now, again, to be fair, one of those years was 9 in 2020. He's been injured so much where he only hit 27 in 18 and 19. I just don't see it. Now, he's going to hit 50 every year he stays healthy. I feel good about that. He's going to hit 50. So if he stays healthy, sure. I mean, right? If it's 50 every year, it's 100 every 2 years. I mean, he needs to hit another. I mean, no, that's, even if he does that, that's 10 years, right? To hit 5.
Right, even if, let's say he played another 7 years and hit 50 every year. That's 350.
It's not enough. It's not enough.
Even let's give him 8. He's 40 years old. Let's give him 400. Let's add 50 there. Let's even give him another 450.
Yeah. Not enough. I mean, that's crazy. He's not going to hit 8 straight years of 50 home runs. He's just not. So, no, I love you,
I gave
Val.
Him 50 plus to get to 450.
Yeah. I love you, Val, but I just don't. I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. He's got a better chance at 74 than he does the overall total, but he's not going to hit 74 either. Dan in Manhattan. What's up, Dan?
Chris, bless you and your patience for some of your callers.
Well, Val in particular, I mean, he just loves, he loves words.
Holy cow.
He can't just get to it. He's got to say it over and over again. Now, I know it's crazy. Like, I get it. Just ask me already, Val. I love you, but come on, just tell me. He's like the king of suspense. It's like Alfred Hitchcock in a conversation.
He's doing the perfect radio tease.
Yeah, I know.
First of all, he would never get, Aaron Judge could never do it, because if he kept hitting 50 home runs, they just walk him a lot more. So, I mean,
they walked Bonds.
Yeah, that's true.
And they haven't walked him yet this year.
He always hit the only pitch that he would get in the game, he would hit out. Movies, which I think you might like, that I've recently found on TNT often, Guardians of the Galaxy, because of the music. I mean, they're good and funny, and because of the music, too.
Yes, the soundtrack's very good.
So good, so good. And I think they're well-written and good performances. Really, I really enjoyed both of those. I haven't seen the third one, but the first two I really liked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the third one I didn't like at all, actually. The third one was kind of... Yeah, there wasn't enough... Like, the whole movie's trying to save the raccoon. Like, it just wasn't enough of, like, a dire situation for me. I don't know. I understand, you've grown attached to Rocket or whatever his name is.
Yeah,
but like
the whole
movie is trying to figure out a way to save his life. And it's just like, not enough of, like, I need a good villain and I need, like, ultimate, like, disaster or impending doom. And if they failed, the raccoon died. Like, we would all be sad, but it just wasn't enough. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But the soundtracks are fantastic.
Yes, no doubt.
I watch them whenever they're on.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, great. I thought you had more. Someone said Soto up here. I'm waiting for you to make your Soto point. Yeah, I got back-to-back calls. Val says every word, and that guy just didn't want to talk, but that's okay.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A perfect game for David Cone. The third time, works like a charm. It is the third perfect game in Yankee Stadium history. Don Larson in 56, David Wells in 98, David Cone in 99, 27 up, 27 down. David Cone has attained baseball immortality.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 333. McMonagle here with you. Let's get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. Talking a little bit of everything here on this five-hour midnight ride all the way to 5 a.m. and the warm-up show. Peter and Lawrence. What's up, Pete?
Hi. Happy Father's Day, Chris.
Oh, happy Father's Day. That's right. It's Father's Day weekend.
Yes,
it's easy to forget Father's Day. You can't forget Mother's
heaven?
Day. What's that?
Yeah, my father in heaven and three
yes.
brothers.
Yes.
They're all fathers.
Well,
do you think Judge can keep on playing center field the way he is and tell the naysayers to be quiet?
For this year, yes. I don't think you want to do it long term, but he can play center field this year if that's what's best for this team. Good.
Bonds had 762 home runs.
762. Okay. So he's at 282. So.
Never happened.
Yeah, no. He's got to hit 480 home runs. I don't know if he has that in him for the next. He's got to hit a lot of home runs. I don't think he's going to pass Bonds. Bonds got started earlier, I believe. Let me just what year. So he hit his real rookie year. His first home runs were in 2016 when he was 24, but his rookie year was 25. And let's see how old Barry Bonds was his rookie year and how old he played to. Yeah, Bonds' first year, he was 21. He had, you know, he played in 113 games at the age of 21 in 1986. So, I mean, he played 22 years up until he was 42. So you're talking about Judge would have to play, just have the same number of years. I mean, you're talking about playing an extra 5 years. He'd have to go to 47 to have the same number of seasons under his belt to try and catch up with Bonds. And plus, Bonds had, you know, Bonds didn't really hit 50 as much as you would think. In fact, it's just the 1 year. It's just the 73 of 2001. He never hit 50 another year besides that. I mean, obviously, he lived in the 40s. But
like, that's among the craziest Bond stats.
Yeah. He never hit, he only hit 50 home runs or better 1 year.
How many do you think Judge could hit if he started using steroids?
That's a good point. I don't want to go near the steroid conversation, please.
We're not debating, we're just saying, listen,
no,
what do we think he could do?
No, I mean, I don't know.
Would 80 be in play?
I mean, I suppose, I don't know. I don't know how much it helped him. I don't know how much it helps. It's hard to quantify, although he became, you know, superhuman from 2001 on. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, he finished, They're talking about now there hasn't been a guy since to finish with a slugging percentage of 700. I mean, from 2001 to 2004, Barry Bonds had slugging percentages of 863, 799, 749, and 812. That is just, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. OPS 1.3, 1.3, 1.2, 1.4. It's absurd.
Like, he had 1 year in his final, what, 15, 16 seasons with an OPS under 1,000, and it was 999.
Yeah. That's crazy. It's crazy. And you're right. I mean, you know, you look at it, it's funny, too, because people just say he was a Hall of Famer even before the steroids. And you know it to be true, right? He had won three MVPs before, but you really, I mean, looking at his numbers, you forget how freaking good he was even before the steroids. I mean, yeah, his OPS is, I mean, from, I don't know when he started taking the steroids, but let's just go to, right, 98 is the year they say, right? That's the story. The story is he saw Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa hitting all those home runs in 1998, and that's what propelled him the next year. So let's go to 97, the year before, right? So say the guess is he started in 99 after 98. Let's just give a year birth and go to 97. I mean, from 1990 to 1997, his OPSs are 9.7, 9.2, 1.0, 1.1, 1.0, 1.0, 1.0, 1.0. I mean, he was living.
And was it OPSs. Five of those years he led baseball in OPS?
Yeah. He led baseball in OPS five of those years. He led baseball
340+ home run seasons.
Yep. He led Major League Baseball in walks almost every single year. Home runs and RBIs in 93, OPS plus in 1, 2, 3, 4 years. I mean, it's just on base percentage, 1, 2, 3, 4 years. I mean, he was just, and then you do what you did and you get the greatest hitter who ever lived. And there's no doubt about that. Like, there's no doubt about that. He's better than Judge. Like, I love Judge. Judge is the best since. I mean, look at the numbers. Bonds is clearly the best hitter ever. And I heard Keith get into an argument about Babe Ruth somehow on the way in. It's amazing what happens here on these nights and overnights. Complaining about, you know, arguing about Babe Ruth or if Judge is better than Babe Ruth. And the tie, I don't like. Do you honestly think? I thought Keith said something funny, and it's true. If, and I always joke with the phone booth and Bill and Ted. If Aaron Judge jumped in to the phone booth with Bill and Ted, and went back to 1927 Murderers Row, they wouldn't know what to do with him. He would be the best. He would be like. It would be scary what he could do on a baseball field. And if you brought Babe Ruth to today, he'd be awful. Like, it's just, it's not hard to admit. Like, I don't know why people get hung up on it.
He'd take one look at how much work players do and say, oh my God, absolutely not.
Forget it. I mean, Babe Ruth would come here and be lost. That's okay to say. It doesn't make him not great. He's still the greatest. You know, he's still one of the greatest players of all time, if not the greatest overall player of all time. What he did amongst his peers was crazy.
How many 98-mile-an-hour splitters with the 7-inch drop do you think he faced?
Yeah. How many lefty relievers came in the seventh inning just to face him throwing 98 miles an hour? How many? Roscoe in Brooklyn. What's up, Roscoe?
See, Mac, I saw you earlier tonight. Did you notice somebody scream your name out when you were standing across the street from the building ready to go in?
No, I didn't, yeah. Roscoe. I'm not sure how comfortable I am with this.
Come on, stop it. Like, anyway, we were talking about movies, right?
Yeah.
I was telling your producer, you know, Goodfellas now, they got it back on AMC, right? And listen, classic, you can't change the channel.
Yeah.
But they took out a lot of the cursing.
Well, of course. That was part of the fun of the list, was that you have to eliminate those type of movies.
No, but this is now. I'm sitting back and I'm thinking about a movie that I won't change, and it's The Dark Knight.
Yeah,
that's a movie right there that I'm not changing the channel.
No, I agree.
Because, you know, and God bless. We need a closer though, C-Mac, on that.
We don't need the Yankees. The Yankees have a closer. His name is Clay Holmes. Get out of town. Don't make me bring up the Mariano Rivera comparison again. I don't want to do it. You can go back and listen on the app. Go back, the Odyssey app. Go back to the beginning of the show. I think I did it mainly like at the end of the 1 o'clock hour into the 2 o'clock hour. Mariano Rivera didn't strike people out either. You do not need to be a strikeout pitcher to be a closer in this game. Clay Holmes, right now he's been great. He can pitch himself out of the closer position if he struggles. But he's been excellent. He's been everything you could want, despite the fact that he's blown two games this year, including yesterday. But I hear far too much that you can't rely on a closer who doesn't strike out people, who relies on contact, who doesn't get the swing and miss. They need another closer because he doesn't strike out people. I hear it all the time. He puts the ball in play too much to be a closer. So I went back and I looked. And he actually strikes out more people than Mariano Rivera. And I'm not saying he's better than Mariano Rivera, but you can't tell me that you can't be a closer if you don't strike people out and you point to Clay Holmes, and then he strikes out more people than Mariano Rivera did. Clearly, Mariano Rivera was able to close games despite his low strikeout per nine. So Clay Holmes might not be good enough to close. We'll see if we get to that point. But in a Yankee uniform, he's been excellent. And you can pitch his style of pitching. You can be a single ball pitcher. You can get contact. You do not have to miss every bat. Now, the Yankees in general have a bullpen that has too many guys that don't. You'd like more strikeouts in the bullpen, and I think Brian Cashman and company are going to go look for relievers. But they're not going to find one better than Clay Holmes. They're not going to get one to supplant him as the closer. He's the closer, and rightfully so. And if you look up and down this league, you are going to be hard-pressed to find someone better than Clay Holmes. And you might. There may be a couple. Good luck getting them. Clay Holmes is as good as any closer in baseball. He is right there at the top of the position. And I'm tired of hearing and reading and seeing and hearing that, oh, ultimately he can't be a closer. He doesn't miss enough bats. So I went back and checked. And he misses more bats than Mariano Rivera. So find another reason why you don't want him to be the closer. And I'm not saying he's as good as Mariano Rivera. We know he's not. I'm just saying they both had low respective strikeout per nine. It doesn't exclude him from being an excellent closer. And it hasn't, and I don't think it will. 888-808-1019. Oh, and then what did he mention? What movie did he mention? I get on the rant and I forgot what he said. Oh, The Dark Knight, yeah. I would have to say, in recent years, and maybe ever, I'll let you say ever because I can't think of off the top of my head any other two actors. There have been two movies that I have seen in my life that one character or actor or whatever you want to put it completely just mesmerized me anytime he was on screen. I saw both movies in the theater, and I've just been like the rest of the movie almost doesn't exist when he's on the screen. He's so captivating. It's happened to me twice. Two different actors, two different movies. One of them is Heath Ledger as the Joker. It's from the minute he puts the pencil through the guy's head in the opening scene he's in, or even before that, as he walks in chuckling to their meeting in the kitchen. It is every time he's on screen, he completely just, I can't focus on anything else. And then the other one is Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood. He is breathtakingly good in that movie. He scares me. I feel bad for him. I can't take my eyes off him when he's on screen. The opening scene is him literally just walking in silence and trying to get an oil rig going and then picking up a baby in a basket, like all in silence, and you can't take your eyes off the guy. He's just incredible. And I always say that. Those two characters in those two movies just... Everything else fades, and I can't take my eyes off those two guys. What two incredible performances. Jesse in Queens. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, Chris. What's up?
What's up?
About the Knicks. I mean, Boston is a team they got to overcome. Boston is loaded.
They're loaded, and it seems like they're about to sweep the NBA Finals and take home their first championship since 2008. That is what it looks like is happening.
So the Knicks are going to have to get some superstar because they have about a two-year window before their salary cap goes to a point where they won't be able to trade for that megastar. So I'm thinking about Steph Curry and Devin Booker. I heard some guy on ESPN said that Leon Rose is targeting Booker.
Yeah, he has been for a while.
A great option.
Yeah, no, I mean, but listen, I think, if you could get him, I'm open to it, no doubt.
What about Steph Curry?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the great players in NBA history. He literally changed the game. How do you not want Steph Curry? I don't know. I understand what's going on there. I understand, you know, the end of Klay Thompson and probably the end of that run there and what's gone on with Green. And the whole thing is it seems like it could be on the verge of blowing up. He's at the tail end of his career. But still, to get someone like that, how do you not at least give it a try? My thought is, I would like to have Jalen Brunson be the leader of the team. I think he proved enough last year where you can classify him as one of the top stars in the NBA. And ultimately, I want him to be the leader of the team. I think you could bring in Booker and still have Jalen Brunson be the leader of the team and it be his team. I don't know if you could bring in Steph Curry and still have Jalen Brunson be the guy. It's just, it's too much. He's too dynamic. He's too popular and famous. He's done too much. He's won too much. He's been the face of the NBA in many ways with him and LeBron during this era. You know, he's won championships. He's changed the way offenses play basketball. He's just too big to not be the guy. And I just don't, it's not that I'm diametrically opposed to it or I would never consider it or, I mean, how do you not? But at the same time, I would love to see a star come here and still be able to fit into the team as opposed to take over the team. LeBron James comes here, even if he's not what he used to be, it's LeBron James' team. There's no other way to do it. Right, so that was a thought for a minute. I don't think he's coming here. But if LeBron James comes to the Knicks, it's not Jalen Brunson's team. It's LeBron James' team. If Booker comes here, you could make the case it's still Jalen Brunson. If, like, even Kevin Durant with his kind of all I want to do is hoop. All I want to do is play video games and hoop and have no interest in it. We know he would be a dynamic scorer. But and maybe I'm fool's gold with this, but maybe you could fit him in at this point in his career and still call it Brunson's team. Maybe it's pushing it. But there are, like, Booker definitely fits that mold. There are other guys who fit that mold. I don't know if Curry does. And that doesn't mean it's a deal breaker for me, but I'd have to see that even be a possibility before it happens. I think they're not going to go that route. I don't know if it's going to be there for them. They have to consider it. They have to consider everything. Trading Randall, you know, not bringing back OG, whatever the case may be, bring in a star, sign both of those, you know, sign OG, keep Randall. Like, everything's on the table for next year. But I don't love running it back. Like, and as, you know, we're talking about Hardenstein possibly getting an offer from, what was the team I read that Hardenstein was getting the offer from? But there's a big contract offer for Hardenstein out there. How much do you push to keep him? If you do that, you have to trade Mitchell Robinson. What can you know? How does that work? And I'm open for change because I never think you could bring it back. I happen to be listening right now to the Andy Martino book about the Cashman years. I know what you're thinking. How have I not already read that three or four times? But I'm going through it right now, and they're talking about Brian Cashman talking about even after 1998, he felt like he needed change. Like, he didn't want to. They had won two championships. They were the coming off being the perceived best team in the history of baseball, won all those games. How do you keep it fresh? How do you keep the desire? And he traded for Roger Clemens and changed the dynamic of the team. And as much as that Nick team was great, and I want to say, oh, run it back. You know, if they were healthy, they could have done this or that. There's always got to be subtle change. It's very hard to bring it completely back and have the same results. But, yeah, I mean, listen, they have to be open for a star. I'm not opposed to either of those players. I think Booker might fit in better because I want Jalen Brunson to be the leader of the team. Because I don't know who they are. That's too much of a diametric change if he's no longer the guy. I know he would be there. He would be a huge part of it. But he's the secondary option. He's not the guy. He's not the leader of the team anymore. You can't bring in someone like Steph Curry and then have him acquiesce to Jalen Brunson left and right. Like, it just doesn't work. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. I'm still struggling with the number. I'm a professional broadcaster here. Get it together. It's been long enough. All right, we've got 1 hour left as we take you through this five-hour midnight ride all the way to the warm-up show. When we come back, we'll get back and reset the baseball as the Mets have a great night no matter how you look at them. Do you want them to trade everybody away because this team stinks and you have no more faith in them? Well, last night suited your purposes because you got another great start from Severino. And he's clearly a big-time chip to trade away to a pennant chaser. You got a walk-off home run from J.D. Martinez. He's clearly a big chip to trade away to someone who could use a right-handed bat in the middle of their lineup who's looking to chase the pennant. You got a bunch of different options to trade, but those two players who won you the game last night continue to raise their value. Or are you the kind of Met fan who believes? Are you the kind of Met fan who says, hey, Fatso, it's only three games out. Anything can happen. The Diamondbacks made the World Series last year. I'm still chasing this thing. I believe in this team. The offense can turn it around. Pete Alonso can carry a team when he gets hot. Lindor's coming out of it. J.D. Martinez is proving to be a stud, as he showed you last night. Severino in this rotation. You might get Kodai Senga back soon. I believe in this team. They got Diaz back last night. Last night was a great night for you, too. You avoided a disastrous loss against the Marlins, which would have absolutely been a colossal disaster. You've now won 8 of 12. You've went four straight series without losing one. Congratulations. You got Diaz back, who's thrusted right back into the closer role, and although it wasn't a save situation last night, pitched well in his inning, and hopefully maybe just the break alone snaps him out of his whatever crisis of confidence he was having. And you continue to get good play, and hopefully the offense can turn around, but you get the walk-off win, you get your team coming off and fighting back, getting off the deck and fighting back to beat the Marlins. So no matter how you look at this Met team, last night was a good night for you, and the New York Yankees unable to get the first ever sweep of a four-game set in Kansas City, which shocked me. And they've been rivals and playing forever, never a four-game sweep. But they were one out away, couldn't get it done. Clay Holmes blows the game. It's led to a lot of conversation about this Yankee team, about this Yankee bullpen, and about their closer, Clay Holmes, who I will tell you, I think is a excellent closer, one of the best in baseball. And as we try and do whatever we can to find a problem with this team, because ultimately we can't be complacent, we can't be happy, so we got to find the issues. I think if you look at yesterday, the defense is much more of a problem than Clay Holmes is. Because Anthony Rizzo has got to make that play with more urgency. And for me, the game-winning hit down the line, LeMahieu has got to be playing no doubles defense and closer to the line. If you are going to have a pitcher who relies on contact the way Clay Holmes does, you've got to be at your best with your infield defense. And the Yankees have let Clay Holmes down a bunch this season.